Anna Huber, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, your latest mystery series protagonist, Verity Kent, is one resourceful woman living through and just after World War I. What drew you to that time period and that whole setup?
Well, I've always been fascinated with World War I. I think because initially in school, it seemed to be the war that kind of got skimmed over. It would be near the end of the year, we'd have to rush through the book, and the teachers would want to get us to World War II, because in the U.S., that's such a bigger conflict for us. So I really started researching World War I, and it's just fascinating. So much of our modern society began with World War I. And World War I was really the beginning of what we think of as modern warfare. I mean, machine guns and airplanes and tanks and all those kind of things. I also did a lot of research on the Secret Service during that time period, and I discovered that the women in Britain, hundreds and thousands of them served, and the women that were stuck in German-occupied areas in Belgium and France, so they worked for the Allies, you know, part of their Secret Service, gathering information, and they really haven't received their due in terms of being acknowledged for their contributions, and so I just knew Verity had to be one of these women. I needed to craft someone to represent them, and that's kind of where she grew out of her experiences and what it would be like after the war. How does she move on?
That's fantastic. And what's the pull, the place, the situation, and that kind of a protagonist?
For me, it's everything in history relates to now. You think the feminist movement is new, but it's not. It's been going on for hundreds of years. And, you know, the things that women dealt with in 1830 Scotland or 1919 England are the same that they're dealing with now. We obviously have benefited from the things that they fought for and the rights they've fought for. But I mean, there's still that struggle. And I don't know, I've always found Britain and Scotland, the UK, fascinating. A lot of my ancestors come from there, so maybe that's part of it. But the history just behind those eras, I'm really drawn to Regency, 19th century, early Victorian, and I'm really drawn to early 20th century. And so much of history happened in that country during those years. And so I think that's why I choose to set it there. And there's also such a variety of landscapes in that small country. I really am drawn to atmospheric settings. Mm-hmm. And so that really helps boost that. Lots to play with as far as setting and angst and conflict and all that.
And details. Let's talk about classic and pop culture. How do you go about researching all of that and then learning to share the story in that lingo? Because that's a real special part of how you tell your stories.
I do a lot of reading just about the general, you know, pop culture, the era. And this era is so accessible. You can watch films. You can read books that were written by people during that time period, lots that use the lingo. You can also read diaries and journals from people who lived through that era, and they use the lingo in their letters and things. And it helps you kind of adapt to that phrasing, because there was a certain kind of phrasing they used in that era.
To be able to use them well and like they are second nature to you, that seems a gift, I might call it, but to you, it's more of a practiced exercise, maybe?
It is. It's hard to write the story when you're not feeling like you're in the era, in that language, that it's flowing through your head, because it is a rhythm, you know, mm-hmm. and it helps you tell the story and the way they're thinking and the way they're reacting. Also, I utilized Tommy's Dictionary of the Trenches. Because a whole new slang developed just from the men who were in the trenches during the war, and they brought it home and started using it, and other people picked it up, and we still use those terms today.
What a wonderful tool. Now, you also capitalize on the spiritualism craze of that day and really managed to paint a realistic picture of it happening in England and other places just after the war when everybody had this burning desire to contact their loved ones. Was it a stretch to make all of this relevant and readable and romantic at the same time?
I think once you explain these people lost so many loved ones, I mean, 19 million young soldiers were killed. And they were killed far away from home. Some of them, there was no body to speak of. They were buried alive. They were lost. And so families didn't have a chance to grieve. They had no grave to go to. They had no funeral. They just received a telegram telling them they died. And it was really hard to accept. So once you get into that, the modern reader can feel that. They can understand that pain and that grief. And they're desperate to talk to their loved one again. I think that really helps bring it to immediacy and lets people relate to it, even though it's not as popular today as it was in that time period.
Makes sense. Okay, in your first series, the Lady Derby series, she's an anatomist from 1830s Scotland. Lots of feminist issues at play in this series, too. What drives your perspective? Always got to be the feminist perspective?
I guess I don't approach it as thinking of it as a feministic perspective. I think of it as approaching it from women who are struggling to find themselves in a society that has a strict, you know, notion of what a female should be. For example, you know, Lady Darby didn't want that anatomist training. Her husband forced it upon her. She just happens to be a gifted portrait artist in a time where a woman who was an artist was not valued. And she doesn't know how to be anyone else. But in society's telling her this is how you need to be. So it's finding that happiness and finding those people who can accept you for who you are. And the exact same thing for Verity. You know, she joins the Secret Service and discovers how good she is at this. And after the war, she's told to go home and she doesn't know how to move forward. She doesn't know how to let go of that side of herself. That ends up being a feminist perspective. But I guess for me, I'm telling the story of women who are different, but not so different that all of us can see ourselves in them.
Great point. And as we look at your protagonists in your series, Anna, they're all strong people. Are they all part Anna Lee Huber too, or someone in your family tree?
I would say they're all part of me in some way. I think it's really hard to not put yourself in your characters. None of them are exactly me, but they're all aspects of me. They all inhabit different places inside me, I would say. And, you know, I never base characters strictly on a person. I just don't work that way. Mm-hmm. But I do like to borrow, you know, little mannerisms sure. and things from other people. And I'm sure that my relationships obviously would influence the writing and all that.
Interesting on all facets of the circumstances there. Now, your first mystery series, the Lady Darby series, was so successful. Was it easy to get your Lady Darby fans hooked on Verity Kent?
I have the best readers in the world. They're so supportive. And they were extremely excited to have another series to read. By and large, they've totally embraced her. It helps that she's different than Lady Darby. I didn't want to write a clone series. They're different things. And mm-hmm. so they can dive into two totally different worlds.
That's a good way to have it. You do keep in great touch with your fans via social media. How directly does that not only pump you up, as it must, but also drive your writing?
Yeah, it definitely pumps me up. I just love interacting with readers and hearing what they're interested in and like. And it drives my writing because they make me feel valued. And also they're excited for the work. And so that makes me even more excited to write it. To have that interaction with readers is invaluable because before social media, you didn't have that. It was a lot harder to interact and to have that excitement.
And the immediate excitement. Yeah, I get
exactly.
that. And good for you. Good for your readers also. And I am kind of curious, how many of your readers think or maybe just assume that you are British?
I think most of my readers on social media, just because of the way I interact, realize I'm American. But I have gotten letters from people that have asked, you know, where are you from? So it's fun to be, I guess, mistaken since I am writing in that country.
Well, you've got a good command of all of the cultural aspect of it, and you tell a darn good story. So yes, I can imagine you've got them maybe tricked on that one. Okay, you also write a romantic mystery series called Gothic Myths. Now that you have three successful series going, Anna, what kind of a juggling act is this for you?
Well, I have to be very organized, especially being a mother of two young children. When I have writing time, I have to write. It's difficult, but it's also helpful because I can't procrastinate. I don't have time to procrastinate. So in my mind, that kind of helps flip the switch and getting to work. You know, I can't wait till the muse strikes. I just have to force it. It's a lot of organization and a lot of juggling more than one book at a time, but it's such a blessing to have three series. It's
and going
amazing.
Strong, too.
It's amazing.
Yes,
and
yes.
So it's absolutely a blessing.
How long is not necessarily a single thought, but maybe a whole character or even a nucleus for another character or another series or another book in your mind before it gets onto the page?
It kind of depends. It depends on my schedule and what I have time to play with. It depends if it's a character I think I can fit into an existing story. Sometimes something percolates for years before it makes it to the page. Sometimes they're an inspiration that just happens while I'm writing that I never anticipated or expected. I mean, those end up actually kind of being the most fun because they just come out of like a left field and say, no, I'm in this book and I'm going to take over. And it's fun. It's part of what makes writing fun because you never know what's going to happen no matter how much you plan.
You can almost trick yourself then, not to mention
absolutely.
All of your
readers. I've had several books where I get to the end and somebody else pops up and says, nope, I did it. And it's amazing how your subconscious works, because I could go back and have to finesse a few things and change a few things, but it works. And so it's kind of amazing how you can know what you're doing, but not know what you're doing.
That is remarkable and really delightful. Good for you for all of that happening. And last question, Anna. Besides a darn good mystery, what do you hope your readers get from the important slice of World War I history that you've also given them in this series?
I hope that they can have appreciation for the people that came before us, the people that weren't necessarily serving in the military, although we do appreciate them. The behind-the-scenes people, the women, you know, and men who served in Secret Service, and the people in Belgium and the occupied areas. They lived under occupation, harsh occupation, for 4 years and helped the war effort and really helped the Allies win. We don't know much about them, and I think we should.
Anna Huber, a Fort Wayne resident, is author of Treacherous is the Night, her second Verity Kent mystery. Anna, thank you for writing and sharing this story with us today. A world of good reads to you.
Thank you very much. You too.